Last weekend, when Marcus and Paige were here, the Lord had me bring them in. Normally, a lot of times, you know, we've had different people in for our anniversaries, Dr. Varallo, Joe Morris, really kind of more in the prophet's office. But the Lord spoke to me to have Marcus and Paige in. Rhonda and I met them a long time ago. And then they stopped by and had lunch with you. And they didn't really pressure to come, but we just sensed that they'd come. And so it seemed right to have them the anniversary. And hopefully, you know, you enjoyed the couples thing, the ladies thing. And then Sunday morning was really good, preaching along some things. And we're going to remember the Franks. Everybody remember Frank? Well, we're going to remind you about Frank, and Frank's going to become part of our lives. And so we believe that the Lord sent him and gave us some things. And then saturation meeting, a number of you weren't able to be here on Sunday night, but I was joking with him. I was talking to him about saturation meeting is a meeting that we lay hands on everyone. It's a believer's meeting. He said, you know, of course he's a pastor and he lays hands on people, but that's really not his flow right now. He said, I don't know if we're going to do that or not. I said, yeah, you will. You'll do that. And he's like, okay. And I said, you know, we have a joke around here. And if Tony ever watches this, I hope he won't get mad, but Tony Cook, he can lay hands on people, but he's known as one of the best teachers in our circle. And even Tony Cook, when he come here on a saturation meeting, he was laying hands on people. We have a really strong flow that direction, and I told Marcus that, and he's like, okay. And so Sunday night, he's like, I don't know why, but I think we're supposed to lay hands on all the couples. And so they laid hands on all the couples, and afterwards, he ministered to me and Pastor Rhonda, and then he got up on the platform, and he began to prophesy. And so I want to give that to you, because when the Word of God comes, we need to honor it and esteem it. And so, y'all believe that? And so when the Word of God comes, and so the Lord was dealing with him, and so Acts chapter 2, verse 47 is where he started out, and it says, and the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. And then by the Holy Ghost, he said this, I am adding to this church daily such as should be saved. I am adding to this church, I am adding to this family, I am adding to this place years of preparation, years of faithfulness, and the Lord knows that's true, and diligence, years of preparing and planning. And now I'm adding to the church daily such as should be saved. Y'all believe that? Amen. Everybody say amen, I believe that. Then this is what I want you to have. Listen, there will be increase in 2018. There will be increase in every area. There will be increase financially. So if the Lord's going to increase our church financially, who's he going to increase first? Some of you should have jumped on that one a little quicker. Could you all use an increase? Amen. There will be increase numerically. There will be increase in salvations. Woo! There will be increase in the baptisms of the Holy Spirit. For now is the time, now is the day, now is the season. Everybody say season. Because I'm getting ready to minister to you about seasons. So rejoice and be glad. Glory be to God. For increase has come. Past tense. And then Faith got up and said, tell them, it's right now. For I'm adding to this church, I'm adding to this church. I keep hearing him say and keep emphasizing, I'm adding to C-W-O-L, I'm adding to you. I'm bringing a few different parts this year. I'm bringing the ones that you need. I'm bringing the lost and the hurting, the ones you prayed for. I'm bringing them to you this year. And then he went on to talk about increase. And then he said this, which was hard for me to wrap my mind around. I see the people waiting outside to get in. That even made me go tilt. I see the crowds gathering. I see you going outside and taking them by the hand and bringing to the house of God. I didn't see that going to the parking lot. I saw you doing the Frank stuff that he talked about. I saw you going out and getting them and bringing them. Like the woman at the well who said, come meet a man. Amen. All you got to do is get him in the room and watch God do what he does. Amen. I see you all full of faith, power, and anointing and blessing like never before, and I see the boldness on this church. Everybody say amen. Amen. So what I want to talk to you about, though, all that's really good, but I want to talk to you about seasons. And we have a thing monthly we do called Proprietor's Luncheon. It's a luncheon I do for those who own their own business, whether it's in startup or they've been doing it a lot of times or they're just starting. It's something we do, a monthly lunch. We're taking November, December off. It'll start back in January. For it's those that own their own business, because I believe that's a different kind of animal than, you know, working a career. We honor all of it. But the Lord told me to do a proprietor's luncheon. And so back in October, the proprietor's luncheon that I did was just really, honestly, just one of the best ones I'd done all the time. And there's part of that that I've been meditating on all week about the seasons, and then that came up. And so I want to deal with you and talk to you about seasons in your life like I talked to them at the proprietor's luncheon. And so I want you to know that if harvest is coming to the church, harvest is coming to you. You have to know what season you're in. And when you get to your life, like I was talking in the announcements, Pastor Ron and I are what people call the season of an empty nest. And so we're enjoying that season of our life. If people are not prepared for that season, now don't any children get mad at me, any teenagers, but we didn't live our life just around our daughter. We kept our relationship. We did things because we knew this day was coming. And so we prepare for it. We still like each other. We don't just love each other. We still like each other. We like to hang out. And I'm so grateful for my new season, not having to plan a vacation around fall and spring break. Glory to God. I can go when I want to go and do what I want to do, where I want, and where I want to do it. Hallelujah. And Robert doesn't have to wait his turn anymore. He can have all that season, and he's got a long one ahead of him. Hallelujah. But you understand seasons. Where I grew up in Illinois, we have four very distinct seasons. Here in North Alabama, we have four seasons, but they're not distinct like they... I mean, I'm grateful for the winter season here. Hallelujah. Pray. I can put up with snow once. Now, let me just tell you, it's not snowing on Sunday around here. Don't you add your faith to your children to see snow or ice on Sunday. It ain't happening, all right? Because we're having church. It can snow on Monday and you can miss work. But it's not going to snow on Sunday. Hallelujah. But anyway, for I came, especially the oak trees and the maple trees were signs of the season. They were definite signs. You knew when spring was coming because it would begin to bud. And the temperature would have a distinct change. You knew when summer was there because just like North Alabama where I was living in Illinois, it got hot. Hot, hot. Like 90 to 100 hot. And so it was hot. And it was nasty humidity. And it was summer. And then when fall came, it immediately, there was a divide and it began to get cold outside and all the leaves would be really beautiful and they would turn color and then, you know, they'd empty out. You knew it was autumn. And when winter came, you know, at Christmas around here, we pray for it and sing White Christmas and we know it's never hardly ever going to happen. But up there, it could always happen. Could always happen. So we knew when winter time was there and it was cold. As it was 90 to 100 in the summer, it can be 10 to 20 below zero in the winter. I mean, there are four very distinct seasons. And spiritually, there are seasons that God wants you to be aware of. Because if you're in a certain season, you dress for it. You're prepared for it. In winter season where I'm from, you better have some salt. And you better have a scraper for your car. There's no sitting there 20 minutes while, you know, until, I mean, if that's all, you're going to sit there 20, 30 minutes till your windshields are drivable. Unless you cheated like I used to when I was a teenager and just get a little hole, which is very dangerous. But you better be prepared. My insurance people are like, what? Ted's like, ah, my mom's probably even upset. You better be prepared. You need the right tools. You need to wear the right clothes. When you talk a certain way, and spiritually, that's what I want you to see. There are seasons, and God's getting us ready for what kind of season at Cornerstone Word of Life Church. It's getting us ready for harvest season. Come on, everybody say harvest. And so if we're going to harvest as a church, you're going to harvest individually. And one of the cool things that God said was, he's talking about growing numerically and spiritually and people getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, but he's also talking about you growing financially. Now, one of the things about seasons is there are certain things that it's always in season spiritually. It's always in season for people to get born again. It's always in season for people to get filled with the Holy Ghost, but there are some times that God emphasizes at a certain place. How many of you know there's no season for you to be physically healed? You can get healed anytime you want to. Yet back in the earlier part of the 60s and the 70s, especially the 60s, there was a healing revival going on. And just everybody was getting healed everywhere, right? There was a charismatic renewal where everybody was getting filled with the Holy Ghost started in the Catholic Church. Yes, in the Catholic Church. I mean, and I believe God will do all that. But I want you to know about seasons, and God's talking to you and me about seasons. Everybody say seasons. What season is it? It's harvest season. So there's a certain thing you do. Now, where I'm from, when it's harvest season, when the corn and the soybeans are ready, it's all hands on deck. And they do it round the clock until it's done. And so that's the season spiritually we're entering into. Everybody say it's harvest season. Come on, harvest season is a fun season. And Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9 talks about this season. So let's look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 9. Be not deceived, God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Have we been sowing some things? We've been sowing faithfulness. We've been sowing diligence. We've been sowing all those things. Verse 8. For he that sows his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows the Spirit of the Spirit will reap everlasting life. I believe it's time to reap from the Spirit. Are y'all ready? Verse 9 says this, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, everybody say due season. What's due season? It's harvest season. It's because due season we shall reap if we faint not. This tells me a lot about harvest season, though. It can be one of the most weary seasons of your life. It could be a season where the devil comes to try to stop you. It could be the season, harvest season can be a season where it seems like people want to give up. But the Bible says, let's not be weary. Come on, are you weary? Let's not be weary. Everybody say, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm strong in the Lord. Come on, I'm strong in the Lord. Are you strong? If you feel weak, let the weak say, I'm strong. Amen. We don't say what we see. We say what God says about us. I'm strong. I can do all things. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even my faith. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Amen. I can do it. I'm going to be harvesting. Are you ready to harvest? But what do we got to watch? Not to be weary. Because if we faint not, have you ever fainted? Have you ever fainted? It is one of the weirdest experiences. Just like doing normal stuff and then suddenly you out. I remember one time I got a tetanus shot and I was at the hospital. I had stepped on a rusty nail and I was at the hospital and I had to get back to work. I was a manager at McDonald's and I left my shift. And I left it with somebody who wasn't a manager. And I had to get, I went to the hospital, got a shot so I wouldn't die of rabies or whatever that is. I don't know what, not rabies, whatever. Lockjaw, whatever I was having. Rabies is from a dog. But anyway, rabies, lockjaw, lead poison, I don't know. But somebody told me I needed to go. And so I went and I ran down there. And the nurse is like, you're going to have to sit here a while. And I'm like, I cannot sit here. I got to go back. And so I popped up, because I was like, I'm fine. So I popped up off the table, and the next thing I know is three or four people were picking me up off the ground. I fainted and went out, and she's like, I told you to sit there. It's a weird feeling. It's a weird feeling. But the devil wants to try to make you faint. Just it's your harvest season. You got to understand. It's kind of like Shammah. Y'all remember Shammah? Come on, if you've been going to Cornerstone a minute, you know about Shammah. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 11 and 12. 2 Samuel 23, verses 11 and 12. It talks about how Shammah, the son of Agi, the Heratite, the Philistines were gathered together in a troop. How many of you know the enemy knows what season you're in too? Especially if it's harvest season. What does the devil come to do? Exactly. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. When's he going to try to do that the most? When you're about to reap. Why? He don't want you to reap. Devil comes hardest two times, when you first sow, when you start believing something, and when you're about to reap. You got to know what season you're in. You got to know what season you're in. You got to know the enemy. So the Philistines, which always represent the enemy, gathered together in a troop. A troop is either 200 or 400. And there was a piece of ground full of lentils. I call them black-eyed peas. But Pastor Rhonda always corrects me. But they're black. Let's say they're black-eyed peas. And so it's time to eat some black-eyed peas and cornbread. And the enemy comes, and they had done nothing, and yet they're coming to steal, kill, and destroy. And it says, and the people fled from the Philistines. Just because everybody else runs away during harvest season, or everybody else is weird, everybody else just used to giving up, doesn't mean you have to give up this time. And they all fled in verse 12. It says, but he, Shammah, stood in the midst of the ground. There comes a time that you got to fight. Remember Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. What's a good fight? Come on, fellas, what's a good fight? Just one you win. Doesn't matter what you look like when you're done, just as long as you win. Amen. It's football. See, how many of you know a win is, a W is a W? W is a W. No, it's not, I don't want to hear any roles or wars here. Hallelujah. Lord, it's going to be awful in a couple weeks. It's going to be a bad one. But he stood in the midst of the ground. He defended it, and he slew the Philistines. And who brought a great victory? The Lord. What do you got to do? You got to stand in the middle of your pea patch. You got to stand in the middle of your pea patch with the enemy. 200. Now, this is real. 200 or 400 guys with real swords. And everybody else runs away, and one man, one of David's mighty men, decides to stand in the middle of it. What are you going to stand in the middle of? You're going to stand in the middle of the word. You got to stand on the word. Having done all to stand therefore. Ready to go. It doesn't matter what it looks like, what it feels like, what anybody did around you. You got to stand, and God will deliver. If there's just one of you, if there's just one, you and God are a majority. You believing the word of God is a majority, and that he can do what he needs to do if you'll stand in the middle of your promises. Because all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. You've got a promise, stand up, stand in the middle of it, where anybody believes you or not, as long as God, you got the word on it and God's told you about it, you can have it. Amen. And what did he do? Well, he took his sword and he slew 200 or 400 guys. That would make a great movie. And the Lord wrought a great victory. Hallelujah. What am I talking about? It's harvest time. Now, I just imagine, though, when all those 200 or 400 guys were dead, everybody came back and had black-eyed peas and cornbread. Because you got to share in the spoils. But somebody's got to stand up and fight during harvest season and receive all that God has for them. How do you do that? Well, Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4 says this, Isaiah 54. It says, the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Because see, during your harvest season, you can get weary. So you need a word from the word. You need to take the Bible, which is God speaking to you, especially out of the epistles, and you need to feed yourself with that. And from that, God can give you a word from the word. I have the tongue of the learned, that I know how to speak a word, and you need to help one another. You need to help one another. It's good to have people around you who can encourage you with the word of God. Speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakes me morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. So one of the things during this harvest season you and I have got to do is we got to keep putting the word in. We got to have a word in due season. I promise you I'm going to do my best to keep giving you the word in due season so that you can reap right now. Because it's time for harvest in your life, in your family, in your home, in your finances, and then in the big picture here, it's time for increase in every way, shape, form, and fashion. Amen. God is ready. Amen. There's always that time, though, that you've got to decide. There's a lady named Esther. Everybody knows her, Esther. You remember Esther? Chapter 4, Esther 4, 13 and 14. Remember, they had a great plan against the Jews. They were going to annihilate them all. And Mordecai, this is Esther, who is the queen, commanded to answer Esther. He said this, think not with thyself that you'll escape into the king's house more than all the Jews. In other words, during this season, you're still who you are, and you're not going to escape into the king's house just because you're the queen. You're a Jew. And then in verse 14, it says, if you hold your peace at this time or at this season, the Lord is asking us as a church not to hold our peace anymore. What does that mean? He's asking you to share. He's asking you to get out of your comfort zone. He's asking me to get out of my comfort zone. He's not asking you to get a bullhorn and go to a college campus and tell them they're all sinners. No, what he's asking you to do is share your life. You are the light of the world. You're a city set on a hill. Amen. You're the salt of the earth. He's asking you to do something for him. Has Jesus done anything for you? Has Father done anything for you? Then he's asking you to do something, and it's pretty simple. He's asking you to, in this time, to do whatever he's asking you to do. It may be different than me, but and it may be different than one another, but he's asking you to do something. And listen to what he said. For if you hold your peace in this time, then shall there enlargement and deliverance. So there's an enlargement coming. How many know there's an enlargement coming? It's harvest time. God's doing some big things in the body of Christ all over the world. And I want to be a part of it. Do you want to be a part of it? There's enlargement coming to this body and to everyone who'll get in. Amen. There's enlargement and deliverance. Could you use any deliverance? Could you need anything changed in your home? Anything changed in your life? If you do it the way God wants, then it's coming. And this is deliverance will arise to the Jews. But listen, if you don't do your thing, it's going to arise from another place. So listen, for Queen Esther, it was like this. God put you here to bring deliverance. If you refuse to do it the way God wants, he's going to push you aside. But deliverance is coming. Deliverance is coming. Amen. I don't want to be pushed aside. Do you want to be pushed aside? I want to do what God's asked me to do. How many know God always has somebody ready to do something? He always has a ram in a thicket. And I've told you this story before. Some of you are new. You haven't heard this. I was not God's first choice to pastor this church, even though I started it. When I moved down here, the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to go, to come down here to Huntsville, to Madison, start a church. He gave me the name of the church supernaturally, had me move down here supernaturally. But he informed me on the way that I wasn't his first choice. Well, I don't know what that would do to you, but I was like, really? And then as I was preaching first service, because I said boldly, well, at least I was his second choice. And then I kind of got this knowing on the inside that perhaps I wasn't even his second choice. But I'm glad they all advocated. I'm glad they all said no. I met the man who said no. I met him. And he still had a good life and ministry and all that kind of stuff. But God's looking for somebody who will obey. He's going to get his stuff done. I said he's going to get his stuff done. And I want him to use us. I want him to pick me. I want him to use us. Amen. Are you ready? Are you ready? And so that reminds me a lot. Wednesday night, if you were not here, my wife preached one of the best messages that's ever been preached in this church. Ever been preached in this church. So if you weren't here, you should go online and get that. And she brought up some of these things that I'm about to bring up. And it's another season coming up. Anybody enjoy Christmas? How many know Christmas, Jesus is the reason for the season? And I want to bring this in because it also speaks to me about seasons and the harvest season we're in. And talking about Esther, in Luke chapter 1, verse 20, remember there was Elizabeth and Zacharias. They were Elizabeth was Mary's cousin. And so God decided that a cousin was going to be the forerunner to Jesus, and his name was going to be John the Baptist. The Lord even told him what to name him, John. And it was a peculiar name because there was nobody in the family named John. And so what happened in Luke 21:20, the angel Gabriel said to Zacharias, and behold, thou shalt be dumb until the days these things shall be performed, because you didn't believe my words. So this is in certain season, how many know that this was not a sickness and disease, but this was Elizabeth's rejoicing that her husband couldn't speak for 9. How many know she got everything done she wanted to get done in those 9 months? Because he wasn't talking, he wasn't saying anything. And really, if you really know of the man's side of it, he probably didn't even mind much. He didn't have to talk or nothing. I tell everybody when I do counseling, I was like, I feel sorry for Pastor Rhonda because I've used up all my words by the time I get home. She asks me all the time, she goes, so what was today? How was today? Fine. What'd you do today? Not much. It's like I used to be on the phone and talk to someone for 45 minutes. And she said, what'd they say? I said, really nothing. She's like, you talk for 45 minutes. Come on. And I'm like, well, I don't want to talk about it again. I already talked. And so he couldn't talk. He couldn't talk. But look what it said, which shall be fulfilled in their season. There are certain times when God has a plan and it's a season. And this was a season to bring Jesus to the earth. And he gets real serious about his seasons. Now, it's always a season for people to get born again. It's always a season for people to get filled with the Holy Ghost. It's always a season for people to get healed. But sometimes he emphasizes it and emphasizes it in a certain place. And I believe he wants to do that. But he needs all of us to cooperate. Am I telling anybody in the room, if you oppose this, you're going to go where you can't talk? I'm not. I'm just saying that this was really serious to the Lord, and he didn't want any words messing this up. And so, you know, then what happened to Mary? Y'all remember Mary? And so let's look at Luke 1:38. Because really, Galatians 4:4 says, in the fullness of time, Jesus came. So in a season, the right season, Jesus came. And it talks about the days being accomplished. It talks about seasons. And so how did this season come to be? Well, Luke 1:38, Mary said when this angel came to her, angel Gabriel came to her in Luke 1:38, she said, be it done to me according to your word. Everybody say, according to your word. Do you and I have any words? And then do we have something specific that God used Marcus to say to us as a church? He said in 2018, increase was coming. And then Paige jumped up and said, and it starts now. If you were here, she wanted to know it's now. So it's coming in 2018. But what's coming? Increase is coming. What's coming? Harvest is coming. What kind of harvest is coming? People getting born again. What kind of harvest is coming? I know the fallen grain. Those that are backslidden will come back. What else is coming? People are going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. What else is coming? Financial increase is coming to this house, and that means it's coming to you. What do I say? Harvest is here. Increase is here. Do you want to be a part of it? Do you want to be a part of it? God's asking you to do something so that the increase can come. But it's like this. She said, whenever God speaks something in a season, there has to be a response. And there must be a response of faith. And we see that Zacharias didn't respond in faith, and so God couldn't keep his mouth flapping because he might mess it up. So he had to close him down, just like walking around the walls of Jericho. You know, it's kind of like that old song. I heard somebody saying, get in, get out, or get run over. We have to be in. Are y'all in? Y'all in? God's wanting to do something. And he wants to use you. And he wants to use you. And what did she say? Be it done unto me according to your word. And then in Luke 1:45, Elizabeth's prophesying to her, and she says this, and blessed is she who believed. Do I got any believers in the room? You got anybody believing that it's harvest time? Do I got anybody to believe it's your season? It's your time. Amen. For there shall be a performance. Uh-oh. There's going to be a performance. And when God performs, he performs. When God brings it to pass, he brings it to pass. He shall bring it to pass. What is he going to bring to pass? His word. What's he going to bring to pass? What he said to you. Amen. It's that season. Well, Pastor, I've heard that before. It's that season. Believe it this time. Come on, it's that season. Believe it this time. Believe it. Because there has to be a belief. There has to be a mixing of faith. There shall be a performance. There shall, that's the strongest word in the English language. There shall be a performance. What? Of what God said. What does he need? Somebody to believe. Even though it looks impossible, he needs somebody to believe. Even when my head goes tilt, if God says something, then we have to believe it. Because it doesn't have to agree with your head. It just has to agree with your heart. There shall be a performance. There shall be a performance in your family, in your life, in your businesses, in your career, with your children. There shall be a performance of what God spoke to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, so one of the things, and we want to put this back. Y'all remember Frank. So we're going to make this ours because I believe the Lord brought it. And so everybody remember. So this is what we're going to do. You know, it's like this. Where's Frank? Is he coming? Frank, don't put him up yet. Don't put Frank up yet. Too late. There's Frank. So we're going to change it, and we're going to put an S on there like he said. But what is Frank? So Frank is friends. Does anybody got any friends? Some of you don't have any friends? Anybody got any friends? Anybody got any relatives? Well, my relatives don't live here. Well, they still need to be born again, though, don't they? They still need to be in church, don't they? Any associates? Y'all work, right? Well, Pastor, I just believe you should keep religion separate from work. Well, I didn't know you was religious. I thought you had a relationship. And you don't keep your relationships out of work. I'm not telling you to get on your desk with a bullhorn and tell everybody they're sinners. I'm telling you to live your life as a light and an example. God lives in you. You're born again. You're born of God. You have something different. So your associates. Then what? Your neighbors. Your neighbors. You got, do you live somewhere? Anybody, do y'all live somewhere? You got some, right? You got some neighbor. Who is my neighbor? Everybody's your neighbor. Kids connections. And then S, now I know most of you all are on social media of some form and fashion. So I don't have a Facebook page. Everything I do on Facebook, I do through Cody and Wesley. I don't understand how it works. I've never liked anything. I don't know. I don't know how it works. I've not been on a wall except a prayer wall. I don't know. I don't know any of that stuff. I know. But how many of you know? So these are ways, avenues we have to reach out to people. And does the Lord want us to do that? Yeah. So what I'm asking you is just once a week, there's six different things. Try to do one. I'm not asking you to do five from each area. Just one out of these six. Try to be thinking that direction. Lord, this next week, tomorrow morning, help me to reach out to a Frank. Help me to reach out to a friend, a relative, an associate, a neighbor, at a kids' function, on social media. Help me to reach out. And just do it natural. Don't make this like a religious exercise where the Lord's going to be mad. No, just because the more natural you are with it, the more you just do it out of your heart. So have the Lord just put it in your heart. Lord, I want to do that. I want to be a part of what you're doing. And so this is a way. And so all you're doing is you're reaching out. You get them in the room and let God do the rest. Just you get them in the room and let God do the rest. And so I was talking to the proprietors, that luncheon. I went on to talk to them about, during this time, that there was going to be great favor on them. And I believe there's great favor on you. What is favor? What is favor? Well, favor is not fair. Favor is when, how many know you have favor with God and favor with man? What is favor? Favor is when God does something for you and people do something for you that they don't know why they're doing it. When the favor of God is on you, people will do things for you they won't do for anybody else, and they don't even have to like you to do it. Favor. Favor can come from business. Favor can come from government. Favor can come from other people. And favor is not fair, but it's all over you. Come on, everybody say, I am favored of the Lord. And I told them, I didn't bring this up first service, so I want to bring it up to you, though, because somebody needs to hear this. Listen, when favor is on you, God will open doors for you. He said he'd open doors no man could shut. When God opens a door, nobody can shut it. But also, he may shut some doors that nobody can open. He's either opening doors that no man can shut, or he's shutting things that nobody can open. And if God's ever shut a door on you, don't try to pry it open. And if God ever opens a door for you, you better walk through. You don't have to look in and see if it's okay. You'll know when God opens the door. Amen? It's like those electric doors, you know, they see you coming and you don't have to do anything. You just keep on walking by faith. Hallelujah. And in the Spirit of God, sometimes it looks like that door's going to smack you in the face, but it'll open just in the right time. Amen? So God wants to do something. So what is that? Divine opportunities. Divine opportunities. Divine favor is coming to you. And so I told them in that business meeting, I told them that what the Lord gave me a picture of when I talked about the seasons is when I think of seasons where I'm from in Illinois, I always look to the maple and the oak trees, especially the maple trees. We had this huge, in my mom and dad's farm, we had this huge maple tree in our yard. It was huge. It was so I always knew when spring was there because the buds came on it. I always knew when it was summer because it was full of green leaves. And I always knew it was autumn because, especially when I was a little kid, that means we got to wait till they all fell. We pile them all together and jump in them and mess them up. And so we knew, and when it was winter, there was nothing up there. The leaves were all gone, and there was icicles hanging off of it. I knew it was winter. But I also knew that it was going to come back to life again. It wasn't really dead. It was just dormant. And so the same is with fruit trees. The same is with fruit trees. How many of you know an apple tree produces apple? An orange tree produces oranges. And you, as a believer, are a spiritual tree, and it's time for you to produce fruit. It's because it's harvest time. It's time for you to produce fruit. So just for time's sake, I want to look at one. Let's just look at Psalms 1, 1 through 3 out of the Amplified Classic Version. Blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives where? Not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans, and their purposes. So number one, if you want to have verse number 3, you and I have to be people who don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Who's the ungodly? Those that are not born again, those who live by their flesh, those who live by what only they can see. The Bible says you and I are not to walk and live in the counsel. We're not letting the ungodly speak into our lives. I'm not saying that we discard everything going on in the world. I'm saying, though, when I'm getting counsel, my counsel comes from God and from His Word. So I'm not going to live in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans, and their purposes. Then it says this, nor stands, submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk. So in order to get to verse 3, I'm also not going to walk the walk and talk the talk that sinners do. I'm going to keep off of the path of the destroyer. I'm purposely going to walk the narrow road. You say, y'all are narrow. I'm so narrow, I believe there's only one way to heaven. That's narrow. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get to the Father but through Him. It's impossible. That's narrow, but that's truth. And it'd be wrong of us not to share that. Well, don't we, in this season, aren't we supposed to be politically correct? I don't think so. Be politically whatever you want to be, but be Bible truthful, right? Because it's heaven or hell. It's real. I'm not going to walk. I'm not going to stand submissive and active in the path where sinners walk. Now, that doesn't mean... Oh, don't anybody take this. I gotta clean something up here. Am I saying to you to be rude to a sinner? No, you're supposed to love sinners. You're supposed to love people where they're at. You're supposed to show the love of God. They don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. Don't impress them with your knowledge. The Bible says knowledge puffs up. We're supposed to impress them with love. We need to love one another. I mean, if the body of Christ ever gets to loving one another, the world will go, what? Nor sits down to relax and rest where scornful and mockers gather. The King James is sitting in the seat of the scornful. The Lord's been really having me on that. So that's just not mocking God. That's mocking other people. That's disdaining other people, believers and unbelievers alike. You and I are never to disdain people. We're never to think less of people. We're never to mock people. God loves people. And we love people. Everyone, every shape, every form, every fashion, every culture, no matter what's going on in their life, living for God, not living for God, we're not going to be mocking them. We're not going to be scornful of them. We're going to love them. What will happen? What else do you need to do? Verse 2. But his delight, everybody say, my delight, and his desires in the law of the Lord, the precepts, instructions, teachings of God. He habitually meditates, sounds like Joshua 1, ponders and studies day by day and by night. So instead, I'm going to be meditating the Word of God. I'm not going to do those other three things, but I'm going to meditate the Word of God. And this is what's going to happen, verse 3. And he shall be like a tree, like that tree that I envisioned in my mom and dad's farmhouse, that maple tree. I'm going to be like a tree, planted and tended by the streams of water. But this is a fruit tree, ready to bring forth its fruit in his season. I got to all that to tell you, it's your season. It's your season. It's your season. It's your season for the favor of the Lord. It's your season. It's your time. It's harvest season. I don't care how long you've been waiting. Believe God. Be like Mary. Be it done unto me according to your word. I believe God. And when I believe God, there shall be a performance. Be like a tree firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth his fruit in season. His leaves shall not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity. That's what God is talking about for us this year and going into next year. I believe the word of the Lord. I believe what God spoke through to us, and I believe what I've been praying out. I'm telling you, it is harvest season. It is harvest time. Amen. He's good, and he's ready to bless you. But we got to be like Mary and agree with him and say, be it done unto me according to your word. And when we do, there'll be a performance. I'm expecting people to get born again, people get filled with the Holy Ghost, marriages changed, lives altered, bodies healed. Amen. But what I need you to do is I need you to get very acquainted with Frank. I need you to like Frank. I need you to embrace Frank. I need you to talk about Frank. I need you to remember Frank. I need you to get your friends, your relatives, your associates, your neighbors, your people that know your children, and then social media. I don't want you to tell me. I want you to tell the Lord, you know what? I'm going to do that. It's not, and I don't want it to be this false pressured commitment. I want you to meditate on it and let it become part of your life. Amen. Because the Lord needs us to reach out. It's as simple as the woman at the well. Come meet a man. Come and see. Your job is to sow seed. Your job is to share. The Lord is the one that brings the increase. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this room today and you've never met Jesus, or you're in this room today and at one time you did serve God, but you've been living in and practicing sin, I want to pray for you. I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm not here to put you on the spot. I'm just here to help you. Jesus is who he says that he is. He is the Son of God. He was born of a virgin. He grew up, but one day he went to the cross. No man took his life. He laid it down for you. He took all your sin, all your guilt, all your shame, took stripes on his back so you could be healed. And all he asks from you is that you believe that he was raised from the dead. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He's awesome. He's wonderful. And when you believe on him, when you call on that name, the Bible says you'll be saved. Not because of your works, not because of who you are. If you're in this room, you can't get good. I'm going to wait till I get good enough. You'll never be good enough. Or maybe you're in this room and you once served God, but you've walked away, been living in sin. Listen, one of the great things about God is he don't get mad at you. Your sin separates you. And if you're ready, the blood of Jesus that saved you will cleanse you right now. The same blood. The Bible says if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. The blood of Jesus will make you righteous. On either one of those two things, if you've never been born again, you never received Jesus, or you've walked away from God and you're ready to come home, I want to do this. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I do want you to lift your hand so I know who I'm praying for right now. If that's you, lift your hand right now. If you've been away from the Lord or you need to be born again, if you'll lift your hand, let me pray for you. Hallelujah. Get everything right between you and the Lord. Glory to God. I'm going to look around one more time. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Tell you what we're going to do. Let's all do this. Let's all lift one hand to heaven. Let's all confess this together. Everybody, say, Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he was raised from the dead, and I receive him as my Savior, and I make him the Lord of my life. Father, I ask you to forgive me of my sins, and I believe the blood of Jesus cleans me up right now in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, whether you lifted your hand or not, back in the back we have a prayer room where I have somebody that has some books and some things that will pray for you. If you prayed that, or if you came back to the Lord, please, please, please go back and receive the books and receive that prayer and pray with someone. The Bible says this, Jesus said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. It's real important for you to let somebody know. Amen. Y'all stand.